Hello again, Person County, and thank you for listening to this edition of Turn the Page, where we talk about books and reading and all things literary. And as always, a special thanks to the wonderful folks who sponsor the show, Reagan & Son Heating and Air, Truth Books and Gifts, and Donovan Insurance. On Winston Churchill's first day as Prime Minister of England, Adolf Hitler invaded Holland and Belgium. Poland and Czechoslovakia had already fallen, and the Dunkirk evacuation was just 2 weeks away. For the next year, Hitler's Luftwaffe waged a relentless bombing campaign, killing 45,000 British citizens. It was Churchill's duty to hold his country together and persuade U.S. President Franklin Roosevelt that Britain was a worthy ally and willing to fight to the end against the Nazis. In The Splendid and the Vile, master historian Eric Larson shows us how Churchill taught the British people, quote, the art of being fearless, end quote. It's a story of political brinkmanship, yes, but it's also a domestic story set against the backdrop of the Prime Minister's country home, Chequers, Churchill's wartime retreat, Ditchley, where he and his entourage retreated when the moon was brightest, causing the most danger of German bombing. And of course, it's also a story of 10 Downing Street in London. One of the things that made me love the book so much is the images of London and the English countryside. I fell in love with that entire island on a trip there a few years ago, and I had chills when I saw evidence so many years later of the brutal assault waged by Hitler and his minions. Drawing on diaries, archival documents, and once-secret intelligence reports, Larson offers a fresh perspective on London's darkest year through day-to-day experiences of Churchill and his family, his wife Clementine, their youngest daughter Mary, their son Randolph, and his beautiful but unhappy wife Pamela, Pamela's illicit affair with a dashing American emissary, and the advisors in Churchill's secret circle. Eric Larson is my favorite nonfiction author. He writes books that read like action-packed fiction. And his books always teach me something. In fact, it took a long time for me to finish The Splendid and the Vile because I kept stopping to look up historical facts, a person, an event that I wanted to know more about. Looking back on Churchill, we usually assume that he was always loved and admired, but that wasn't always the case, as we see in this book. He had his detractors on both sides of the big pond. Larson does a fantastic job of showing readers the flesh and blood Churchill, kimonos and all. The Prime Minister's strength lay in his ability to give the British people hope and the will to keep fighting against what often seemed like insurmountable odds. After his moving speech about fighting on and never surrendering, Churchill turns to a colleague and says, quote, and we will fight them with the butt end of broken bottles because that's bloody well all we've got, end quote. While Churchill is the center of the action in this book, Larson's tale is much more encompassing. He shows us exactly what England was up against in the first year of war with Germany. The book is rich in details that will stick with readers. On the first massive bombing of London, it's the, quote, dust from the age of Cromwell, Dickens, and Victoria, end quote, that rained down and covers everything. Larson's choice of quotes are striking, and he has a perfect blend of monumental facts and minute detail that give us a complete picture of life in England in 1940. This is the kind of history that I love to read, social and political and human. During his first year in office, the Luftwaffe was attempting to destroy the Royal Air Force and then began bombing London to destroy morale and keep England out of the war. Churchill was desperately trying to convince Roosevelt and the United States to offer aid and ultimately enter the war. It was an uphill battle at the time, because it was not too long after World War I and there were strong isolationist leanings in America. But finally, it does happen. America comes into the war, as we all know, after Pearl Harbor. And before that, Roosevelt was offering a good deal of aid through a lend-lease program with England. There's so much in this book, I could talk about it forever, but I'm out of time. As is the case with most of Larson's work, I highly recommend this one. Until next time, thanks for listening and happy reading.